All right, this is the end of 3 days of meeting, and I get to hold your attention for another 15 minutes, more or less. If you're like me, your brain is pretty much saturated right now. It's going to be a little hard to pay attention. I know you're just singing, let's stand up, take a deep breath, whatever we need to do to get the blood moving. I don't want you to fall asleep on me. Stretch a little bit, whatever you need to do. All right, now maybe you'll be able to listen up just a little while longer. Okay, I wanted to have a brief talk about a couple things. Before we do, let's look to the Lord and ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we look back over the last few days, and I trust that each one of us can see where we have received something, and You have provided something, maybe an answer to a question or guidance in a decision, or possibly a new friendship or something, Father, that You have provided for us over the last 3 days. And we're ready to leave this place and move on to whatever tomorrow brings, Father. Different things for different people. Different needs, different questions for each one in this room. Father, I know that I cannot answer those questions or meet all those needs, but You can. So I ask for help, Heavenly Father, tonight. You know each one in this room way better than I do. You know what they're going through. You know what questions they have, what things they're dealing with, what's in the back of their mind that they know they have to go back to. And I pray for them and ask that You would give guidance. Help us now as we open Your Word one more time and look into it. Help me to be able to speak clearly and explain the thoughts that are on my heart this evening. Ask for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn with me to, those of you that have a Bible handy, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, I would like to, in just a few minutes, take a real quick look. And what I want to do in this story is bring out the children of Israel as they look back to their past in the wilderness, 40 years, as they look forward to the land of Canaan that they're just about to enter, and as they start to take action, to take possession of what God has given them. Three things. So let's start and let's read. This is just your history. Deuteronomy is kind of, the whole book of Deuteronomy takes place in just a few days, right at the edge of the land of Canaan. They've gone all the way through the wilderness, 40 years wandering around and around. Now they've come to the River Jordan. They're right at the edge. They can look across. They can see the land of Canaan that God has promised to them. And they're there. And Moses, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, he dies. But he's recounting the story. The Deuteronomy means the second telling. He is retelling their story, repeating the laws of God over again. One more time, just as they go into the land. So they're, just picture them, their camp is there, right on the edge. They're all excited. They've got this land that they've been looking forward to for 40 years ahead of them. And these are some of the words of Moses that he gives to them. He says, starting with verse 2, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. I'm going to keep reading, but that was the look back. Now, from here on, he's looking forward into the land of Canaan. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given to thee. And he goes on, but we'll stop there. Okay, they're right here on the edge. Now, as I look around the room, as I mentioned in my prayer, I don't really know where each of you is in your path of faith. But I know that a lot of you are at a point where over the next few years, sometimes some, for some of you, the next few weeks or months, you're going to be making decisions that are going to affect you for many years to come. Maybe decisions about school or decisions about what to study, decisions about a lot of different things that you're going to be making over the next few years that are going to affect you for many years to come, that have the potential of affecting you for many years to come. And so you're like the children of Israel. You're ready for a transition. You're ready for a change. You're looking forward to something different than what your life has been up to this point. You can look back like the children of Israel and see one life, and you can look forward and you see something that maybe looks a little bit different. The children of Israel were right there on the land. They had been looking forward to this minute, or to this land, this promised possession, for many, many years. And God has them look back, and he has them look forward. And he reminds them, and he says, remember how I took care of you. How he provided for them water, how he provided for them manna, how he provided for them shade in the day, heat or warmth at night. And even, if you notice while I was reading here, how he provided them trials, tests, temptations, so that they would learn what was in their heart. But even in all those things, whether it was serpents or whatever it was that God brought along the way, he provided for all of their needs. They couldn't look back and say that God hadn't provided for them. In fact, he even says your clothes didn't even get old for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. So there was no way that they could say, well, God has not provided for us, because he had. And you know what? I hope that each of us can look back in our life, in our experience, and see the same things. And we can look back and say, yes, I can see how God has provided for me. I can see in some experiences that, you know, there was this situation, this very particular situation where I wasn't sure how things were going to work out, and God allowed things to work out. Maybe in your life, maybe in your family's life. Maybe you can look back at just the last few meetings and the last few days of meetings and see how God has provided for you in some way, very particularly. I hope so. Maybe you can look back and see, just like the children of Israel, how he's provided a test of some kind, a difficulty, a trial maybe of some kind, and how he helped you through it, and you've come through it, and you can see his provision. Maybe you're in the middle of one of those trials right now, and you're not really sure how it's going to turn out. The children of Israel were kind of in this transition time, but each of us is at a different point in our life. No matter what we can look back, I hope that every single person in this room can look back all the way to the cross and see how God has provided for you there. You know, when we look back at our experiences, sometimes we say, well, or look at our circumstances now, we think, oh man, you know, I'm not sure what God is doing. I'm not really sure if God knows, if he really understands all of the details of my circumstance here. And maybe we have some questions whether God's really going to care for us. We can always look all the way back to the cross and see how God has perfectly provided for us. There is no reason for anyone in this room to ever doubt God's love. If you ever start to doubt God's love, and it may happen, probably will, if you're like me, there will come questions in your life. If you ever start to doubt God's love, you can always look all the way back to the cross and see how that God spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So there is no question, there should not be any question as to God's love in our life as we look back. And we should look back, not just to the cross, but to all of the circumstances, to all of the ways that God has helped, has provided for us in our lives. And I think that does two things. First of all, it makes us praise and worship Him, like we did this morning, specifically about the cross and the sacrifice that He gave for us. But also in other things, we say, thank you, Lord, for providing in this or that, for giving me guidance, for giving me an answer to this circumstance, for resolving this difficulty that I wasn't sure how it was going to get resolved. And then the other thing is, it gives us the confidence to trust Him as we look forward to what's coming. Now, we're going to talk about looking forward, but before we do, I want to read something else, because here's another way that we can look back. And I'm going to read in Psalm 139, just a few verses. At the beginning of the psalm, Psalm 139. The psalm says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. There's another way we can look back, not just at our external circumstances, but we can look back and realize that God has searched us and known us. This is more of an internal thing. God looks into our soul, and as we look back over our circumstances, we know the things that we have dealt with. We know the things that the fears that we have had. We know the sins that we have allowed in our lives. We know these things about us. And I hope that we can know that God also knows about all of those things. And loves us. And we can have, because of the work of the cross, full confidence in His presence, allowing Him to come in and search and reveal to us these things. He says, he ends there, the last verse I read, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I think it's wonderful because the psalmist David, realizing that God knows everything about him and still loves him and cares for him and will never turn away from him, will never reject him. So that, in that way, it's a wonderful, wonderful knowledge. We can have full confidence knowing that that relationship that we have with God as our Father, with as His children. I hope that everyone in here is a son and a daughter of God. That we are His children. That we are His bride. We've been brought into that relationship. Even though He sees everything, all the time. Even stuff that we don't even realize is in our hearts. He sees it, knows it. Our thoughts, our words, even before we speak them. That's looking back. Now, let's look forward. The children of Israel, they could look across that river Jordan and they could see a land. And like we read there in Deuteronomy, God had promised that it was a land, a good land. They could expect, because of the promises of God, they could expect very specific blessings. Wheat, barley, rain, water, good crops, good flocks, iron in the hills. They could expect victory over their enemies. And it was right for them to look forward to those things. And God says, look forward to them. Go into that land. Walk in that land. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. It's yours. I've given it to you. You know, from our perspective, that would be like not just good crops or victory over the Philistines, but that would be success in business. That would be an A in my class, or at least a B plus. And that would be knowing that this business venture that I'm going into is not going to end up in bankruptcy. I can just go forward with full confidence that I'm going to be successful because I bring my sacrifices and I worship the Lord and He has promised me earthly success. Now, our future is not promised in the same way. For us, I think for all of us, the future, as we look to the future, at least as to circumstances on the earth, is very fuzzy at times. We don't know how it's going to turn out. And we know through experience that sometimes things don't turn out, at least in what we would consider an earthly successful way. But we do have promises of God. We have promises that He is, He will be with us. He will never forsake us. We have promises that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have the promise that that His yoke is easy and His burden is light and that He will give us rest if we come to Him. We have all of the promises in the New Testament that we, like the children of Israel standing on the land, could claim that possession. We, even though they hadn't experienced it yet, we can claim those promises that God has given to us. And along with that, the whole spiritual inheritance that we have, all things in Christ. I'm specifically thinking, addressing not so much the spiritual side, but the decisions and our path in serving the Lord in the directions that our life takes here on earth. We can trust God to provide what's best for us. After all, He gave the best gift He could ever give. He gave the thing that He loved most for you. He gave His Son. The one that He loved the most, He gave for you and for me. Do we need to question His love as we move forward from this point? Now, tomorrow, things may not go the way you want. When you go back home, things may not magically just turn around and be all good. There's still going to be difficulties. There's still going to be troubles. And we may say, Lord, I thought You really knew what was best for me, and I thought You were going to give me. That guy that stood up in the front said, You cared about us, and You knew what was best for us, and You were going to give that to us. It's still true. I don't know why God allows things to happen in your life or mine, but every single circumstance is allowed by God. There is nothing that happens in your life that somehow slipped past God without His knowledge and approval. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes it causes us to question. Hopefully it causes us to get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand. Help me through this. Help me to learn to know You better through this circumstance. And we will. But He has these promises in the New Testament that just like the children of Israel looking over there could say, that is mine. We can claim those ourselves too. And we can move forward with full confidence. Now, while we have our Bibles open to Psalm 139, let's turn down to the end of the psalm. Verse 17 says, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. And then in the last two verses, he ends the psalm saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God's thoughts and plans towards us are for our good and for our blessing. And we can, in full confidence, open up all of our being, our soul, our thoughts, our concerns, our worries, our fears, our joys, our desires, all of this we can open up to the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Some of these things may be right desires and right plans, and some of these things may not be right desires or right plans. Search me. Show me what is right. Show me how to do your will. Lead me in the way everlasting. I believe that as we look forward to whatever specific questions or whatever specific issues that you are thinking about in your circumstance, whatever it may be, if we would each have that attitude, there would be blessing in our lives. And I'm not saying that those problems would immediately go away. Even if they don't, we would gain a knowledge of God, an understanding of His plans and His purposes, even through the difficult things that we have to go back and face. If we have that attitude, like the psalmist, of opening up to the Lord and saying, show me your way. Show me what's wrong here. Show me what's right. Guide me and lead me. You know, so often in our prayers, we bring these specific things that we're concerned about to the Lord. But then there's this whole part of our life that we're just either afraid or we just don't even think about opening it up to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord is saying, yeah, I know you're concerned about that thing over here, but I'm trying to get your attention over here in this area. And so, the last thing, as we look back and hopefully thank God for what He's done in our lives, and as we look forward to whatever decisions or plans or things we have going forward, thank God for what's past, trust Him for what's in the future. I hope that we will also listen to Him as we move forward and take action in whatever areas God is trying to get our attention. You know, I've mentioned this before, but I am a great... when there is one very specific thing on my desk that I need to do, I am very good at finding every single other thing on my desk and taking care of it. I will clean my desk. I will re-alphabetize file folders just to avoid that one thing that is sitting on my desk that for whatever reason I am reluctant to take to start on. We can do that in a spiritual way too. Sometimes God is kind of knocking in one area of our life and saying, you know, I want you to deal with this. Maybe it's something that we're doing that He wants us to stop. Or maybe it's something we're not doing that He wants us to start. Or maybe it's an attitude or something towards a person that He wants us to change. And He's just quietly knocking over there. And we're ready to fix every other area of our life, but we're not willing to even open that door up to the Lord. That's not what the psalmist said. He said, search me and know me and lead me in the way everlasting. So let's do that. Let's look back and give thanks. Let's look forward in confidence, and let's listen and address whatever it is that God has for us as we cross this threshold into whatever the next phase is for your life. Let's pray.
Would you pray also for the refreshments as well?
I'd be glad to. Thank you for this time. Thank you for each one here, Father. I know that you love them and have a plan for them. I don't know what it is. They may not know what it is. Help us, each one, every one of us, as we look back, to say thank you for your care. Certainly at the cross, where you gave the greatest gift you could ever give. And as we look forward, help us to move forward trusting in you with a willingness to open our hearts to you and follow your direction and perhaps deal with things that we have been ignoring in our lives. Give us the courage to do this. We know some of the first words to Joshua as he crossed that river were, "Be strong and courageous." So we ask for this for each one here. Now, thank you for this evening together. Thank you for this refreshment. And thank you for the plans that we have for the hours and days ahead. If you leave us here, we ask for your care and keeping and blessing in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.